Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I'm going to do something this morning I have never done before and makes me slightly uncomfortable even asking, but dang it, I'm going to go for it. So today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Wasn't looking for applause or anything. Although when you get to my age, it should be applause.
Yeah. 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 All right, you made it.
So I have a request. I've never done this before, but here is our Burt Show family here. And when you're celebrating a birthday, of course you want to be surrounded by family, right? You guys are family. I am going to make a request. I would like, and this is very unorthodox, I would like to request one birthday present as a group from all of you guys.
Okay.
All right. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sound good. Yeah, Kaylee in here. Rebecca's in here. Katie's in here. Cassie, Mo, Abby, Tommy's in the other studio. Kristen's not here today, but I'm going to call her and ask her to join us on this one as well. Okay? Now, this idea did come to me last night after I had one of those Delta 8 gummies. which are legal, so don't email me. Okay? And it was funny at the time, but then I woke up this morning. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I do want to do this. Here's what I would like, guys, for my birthday. And you can't say no, because I have birthday immunity. And I've never asked for a group present before. I want all of you guys to come in tomorrow and take a group picture after you get a hickey. Sometime today, over the next 24 hours, I don't care who gives it to you.
Okay.
I don't care how you get it. I just want everybody coming in here tomorrow morning with a hickey. And I want to take a group picture of you with all of your hickeys.
I'm going to have to go through the roster. I have to contact all these people.
24 hours? Some of us single, man.
I don't care how you get it.
I got to fly somebody out.
I don't care.
Here's some time.
Dude, you own a vacuum, don't you?
I do.
Dude, so I just want to reiterate, you have birthday immunity, but for everyone listening, we have a very big Girls Night Out event on Saturday.
What's that got to do with me?
We have a Burt's Big Adventure reunion on Sunday.
What's that got to do with me?
Other people have other events and family photo shoots.
Yeah, they sure do. You got photo shoots this weekend?
I have a family photo shoot.
Yeah, then absolutely we're doing this.
Better wear a turtleneck.
Okay.
Where did you come up with this?
Right.
Well,
I told you.
Freak.
I told you.
Why? That's my question. What? Do you have a thing for hickeys?
Not at all.
Should I be calling HR?
Not at all. And I haven't had one since the seventh grade. When is the last time you guys had a hickey?
Never, because I'm an adult.
I was 19.
You were 19?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 20.
No, it 20. Literally is when I see an adult with a hickey, I think that's the trashiest thing ever seen in my life. So, after my Delta 8 last night, I thought, I would like to see you guys all come in tomorrow with a hickey. And I want to know your stories of who you asked. I'd also maybe, not only the photos, but I would like to put videos of you guys getting your hickeys up on the website
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Now you're getting crazy. Weird.
Unless it's in like, so I didn't anticipate this being a romantic thing because I don't think that hickeys are romantic. I just assume like you would go home tonight, you would be in the kitchen, and you would go, Chip, can you come here for a second? Bert had a birthday request, and he would just suck on your neck in the kitchen. There was nothing like sexual about it.
He'll say no, and I'm gonna have to stand in the kitchen sucking on my own arm and give myself a hiccup.
No, it has to be on your neck. It has to be on your neck.
No,
that's the issue, huh, Katie?
Yeah, that was not part of the initial request.
That's a forearm hickey?
Yeah. A hickey is a hickey.
Fun in that? No, it's got to be on your neck.
Is there a toy I can order for this? Is this on Amazon Prime?
There is, actually.
I'm going to the bar today. I'm finding a woman.
All right. I think that when I thought of hickeys yesterday, the first one I ever had was a fake hickey. I was gone for a summer. I think I've told this story. Have I told this story on the air before?
I don't remember this one.
Yeah.
I think I was in the seventh grade, and I went away from summer camp, and I made up some fictitious story about me having a girlfriend on summer break or summer camp. And I came home, and I lived in a very rural part of San Diego where snakes were a thing. So everybody in the neighborhood has a snake biting kit. And in the snake biting kit, what an idiot, is a little sucking mechanism that if a snake bites you, you put this suction cup on the bite and it sucks the poison out of your arm or whatever, right? I put that thing on my neck and then went into school on Monday and told everybody I made out with somebody.
Did they believe you?
That's pretty damn pathetic.
You admitted to that on your birthday?
So tomorrow, I would like all of you guys to come in with a hickey on your neck.
I request a religious exemption since my wife is a minister.
Doesn't matter. Plenty of Christians, plenty of Catholics. Get hickeys, man.
What about for the people that got you a gift already? You can't request two gifts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Now, this is different. This is one gift from all of you guys.
Yeah, look in your email. I already sent you a Fanatics gift card.
Yeah. You know my gift always late, but it's coming.
It's just a hickey, you guys. So, all right. You're going to go back to the being 19. Come on in with a hickey.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to have to ask my neighbor.
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm a little surprised that Swifties are not storming John Mayer's house right now after something he did at a recent show. I personally can't storm because I'm here at work, but I would. if there was a group chat, I would think about it. I have to ask for some PTO and be like, you know what? I got to go off to John Mayer's house.
What did he do?
So let me give you a little backstory real quick. So a little information on the lore of Taylor Swift is she wrote a song called Dear John that was never confirmed that it was about him, but people assume she wrote a song about Dear John. She dated John Mayer.
Could have been John Hamm.
Could have been John Hamm.
You don't know that.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. So allegedly, in response, he made a song called Paper Dolls that came out a couple years later. And he's never really commented about it or confirmed it. So he was introducing this song at one of his concerts the other night. And all I have to say is that if this song is in fact about Taylor, it sounds like he's thrown some shade.
I wonder if people don't like it because it sounds a little pissed off. I don't really like Pissed Off as a song. I think it was more her, but I think there is there something about it that's a little bitchy? For my opinion. I try not to get bitchiness in the songs. It happens sometimes.
So he's talking about the song, but it almost kind of sounds like he's talking about the person he wrote the song about. Mm. He's like, oh, it sounds a little peeved, a little B word. And so people are like, okay, so maybe he's throwing a little shade at Tay-Tay. If it is, allegedly, if the song is about her. And I'm surprised that we have not rallied together.
Don't you think, though, if you are a hardcore Taylor Swift fan,
mm-hmm.
that you're so protective of her that you might be seeing things that really aren't there? Because he hasn't confirmed that's about her.
Why do I feel like I'm being gaslit right now?
Or maybe you're right.
Back off.
Back off. Swifties, I'll be adding you all to the group chat. We're storming Bert's house later. Okay, so you got to be careful who you choose as your bridesmaids. So we've been talking about the Vanderpump Rules, Scandoval, Tom Sandoval cheated on Ariana with Raquel. And another cast member from Vanderpump Rules, Sheena Shea, actually just came out on a podcast and said that she has now photoshopped Raquel out of all of her wedding photos. So Raquel was a bridesmaid in Sheena's wedding, and she is so upset with what's gone down between her and Tom that not only did she cut her out, well, she didn't cut her out of the wedding photos, she photoshopped another cast member's face over Raquel's face in all the wedding photos. Because she's like, I can't even look at this woman anymore.
Yeah.
It's so petty. But you got to be, I mean, I'm not blaming her for picking because I'm sure they were friends at the time that they asked. But it is funny, like, looking back on, like, I've been at a couple of weddings and I'm like, oh, we don't even talk to these people anymore.
But it does raise an interesting question, okay? So let's say that this did happen in the real world, right? Where one of the bridesmaids ends up hooking up with the husband after they get married. Mm-hmm. But you've got all these pictures of her in your photos, right? What do you do with those? Like, if your marriage survives that, you don't want to get rid of the whole album. You don't want to get rid of the other pictures. So what do you do?
That's valid.
It doesn't sound that awful to me, like to Photoshop her out.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do either. I mean, yeah. I mean, even as a guy, I don't think I would have thought of that, but I certainly wouldn't be able to look at my wedding photos anymore if I was in a similar situation.
No, you would not.
No.
You got to take them off Facebook.
You're right.
Maybe make a scrapbook out of it.
Yeah.
Remember the time you were thinking about hooking up with my husband at our wedding?
Because you can't throw the whole album out, but... And she's going to be in a majority of the pictures. So.
What do you do with the ones that are printed? Like, aren't those the ones that are even more special?
Burn.
You got to burn them?
Burn them.
Wow.
Yeah, burn them, maybe make a little cutout, to print out some more photos, tape them over her face. Yeah, so if you are planning a wedding, make sure you are certain that you want those people in your photos for the rest of your life. Okay, so when you see these Marvel superhero guys like Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr., I think sometimes you can associate them with their character.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
for sure.
You're like, oh, that's not Chris Hemsworth. That's Thor, God of Thunder. And so I kind of felt the same way about Chris Evans, Captain America. Like, you feel like they can do anything. Like, they're real life superheroes. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing Captain America says he'll never do.
I've avoided hosting SNL like the plague for years now, just because I'm so scared. It's terrifying to me. It would just be one of those things that every single night I would wake up in a cold sweat. A cameo sound, great. That's perfect. In and out, a little pop, get your toes wet, but hosting.
Everybody that hosts that show says how demanding it is for the entire... You don't realize it because you're just watching on TV. You think, okay, maybe they have a couple of rehearsals. It's supposed to be super demanding.
I think anytime it comes to hosting or doing stand-up, the more afraid you are, the better it is. I think the fact that he is that scared, he'd probably be great at it.
And he's so charming and handsome. Like, what couldn't that man do? I demand that we get him to host SNL. He'd be so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Drew Barrymore and Brooke Shields talked about one of the darkest parts about being a child star. Tune into your next Entertainment Buzz. I'll talk about what both had them in tears on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
This was great earlier this morning, though. So Mo brought in some brutal relationship advice that has been compiled online lately. And it's been really, really good. It might not be what you want to hear, but it is probably what you need to hear.
Yeah, it was a thread that was started by a lady named Lady Lion SA, where she was basically saying that anytime men come out and give relationship advice on dating men, women seem to woman-splain sometime instead of actually just listening and taking the advice. So she wanted to create a thread where men can be 100% honest on things that they think women should know when it comes to dating men, and it was advice that could only come from men. So I feel like we started off strong, but not really strong. So we're going to go a little stronger this time.
You're bringing the heat.
Let's bring the heat this time.
All right. And if you're a guy and you're listening and you want to comment on one of these, or you've always wanted to give like brutal relationship advice to women, now is the time. 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
All right. One guy says, women, you are the only ones who understand your quote unquote hints. That doesn't work for us. Open your mouth and talk if you want something. We will never be mind readers, and y'all have to get over it.
I don't disagree with him on that. It's harshly worded, but I don't know that I disagree with him on that.
Didn't you say earlier today I shouldn't cater to men I'm dating stupidity?
That's not necessarily stupidity, though, is
it? No, that's a little different. Because that was in terms of sometimes you do give the context clues and men are just not being wise enough to pick up on them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be mind readers. So if you don't say anything, like it's been times I've asked like my woman, like, what's wrong? Everything okay? Nothing, I'm fine. I know it's not nothing. I know you're not fine. So tell me. I can't fix it if I don't know what's going on. I can't read your mind.
Yeah, you should just know.
Right.
That's never good, man.
Okay, yeah. That's a fair enough point.
I agree with this one. And that's important for any relationship. Like, if you want something, say it. You can't expect your other person to be inside your head. That's unfair. And then you can't get mad over it either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know that thing that y'all do when y'all get in a good relationship and y'all get all happy and then gain all that weight. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't date that man.
That's easy. Can't handle a little more to love?
I didn't say this. This is men.
Tell me you're undateable without telling me you're undateable. That advice is absolute straight trash. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're happy, so you relax. Oh, no, you gained a little weight. People change. What are you going to do when they get older?
What did Mo say, though? This is brutal advice for men that women aren't going to want to hear.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's right because some rando on the internet decided to fat shame women.
Quit trying to be masculine. Men and women are not equal. Wanting to be valued and respected and pushing to be another man in the relationship are not the same thing.
Whew, there's a lot to chew on this one here. Do that one again.
Quit trying to be masculine. Men and women are not equal.
Wrong.
Wanting to be valued and respected and pushing to be another man in the relationship are not the same thing.
This one is so far off. I don't even quite understand it. Like, we're not...
It's hard. I don't know where exactly he was coming from. The only thing I could kind of take from it that I think he's trying to say is there are certain, like, I don't think he's trying to say men and women are not equal as far as people. I think he means, like, as far as what they both bring to a relationship. Like, women are not technically supposed to bring to the relationship what men are supposed to, and vice versa.
So, like, this is, like, real role-based stuff? Like, yeah. Look, man, men know your role, women know your role.
I think that's what he's trying to say, and he didn't word it the best.
Some of these guys really like traditional gender roles in relationships, which is a really antiquated way of looking at it. But, you know, I'm sure there's a woman out there who will be a great match for him.
This one would not work for me right here. I don't want, like, a power advantage in my relationships that would just, I don't know, it seems so boring, right? So there are times where I am not equal to Tiffany in some areas, and there are times where she is not equal to me in some areas.
Like,
but together, there's equality.
It's weird because it comes off as this guy is intimidated by women who are masculine or bring like masculine energy to the table. Like, and if you flip the table, I would say the same thing to a woman who's like, oh, my man can cook. Mm-mm, that's not something that men should be able to do. That's the woman's job. I'd be like, shut up. Right. Like, welcome to the 21st century.
Personally, I would love it if a man would cook for me, but that's just me. I think this kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the last break that we did, where if you're in a heterosexual relationship, there can be really attractive things about dating someone who's feminine or dating someone who's masculine. Like, there are parts of me that, like, when I see a guy doing something traditionally masculine, I'm like, I found that really attractive. So,
but I told you the other day, like, Tiffany never thought I was sexier than when I was changing a tire without a shirt on.
So it's kind of like what I said in that last break, where women need to feel safe to bring out that softer, feminine part of themselves. And out in this world, like, we have to be masculine. Like, in the workplace, women have to bring out those more masculine traits. And so it feels very unnatural to then come into an environment where, okay, now I have to kind of switch into a different side of myself.
A woman once told me, and I understand that she didn't think that was in her at all her entire life. Like, the feminine energy, that just wasn't her thing until she met the right guy who presented the right kind of masculine energy. And then all of a sudden, it became natural to her to do things she never thought she could.
All right, there are so many of these we can keep chewing on, and we will. These are very debatable. They will get heated if you bring them up.
For sure.
The Bird Show.
All right, let's get Shauna on here. Look, the stakes are really, really high here. Hey, Shauna, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I can't even imagine. Like, here you are, you're getting married this weekend. You're getting married on Saturday? You're getting married on Sunday?
Saturday.
You're like, well, it's trending down.
it's coming really fast, so.
Are there friends and family that have come into town that are already here for the wedding this weekend?
Yep.
So if we found out last night doing War of the Roses that he was messing around on you, you are prepared to tell everybody this wedding is off.
I mean, I don't know, but I guess I would have to. I thought about it all night. I'm just hoping that that isn't the case, but I'm like dying to know.
Your tone tells me that you kind of have a gut feeling and you are not confident that this is going to go so well. Is that accurate?
I don't know. I mean, on one hand, like, we had such a great relationship and I do trust him. I don't know if it's just me being, like, anxious and nervous and a little bit irrational, or if I do have a gut feeling. Like, I'm very confused.
Well, just based on the email that we read yesterday from you, I even think his ask was disrespectful. And for those that didn't hear it, you want to tell us exactly what has sort of gotten you to this place, especially in these last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, basically his ex reached out to him a few weeks ago and was like, you know, I think we should talk. Like, you know, I guess she needed closure. And I don't know, at the time I was kind of like, you know, I trust him. Like, if that's something he feels he really needs to do before we get married, like, they can go meet, you know, one time and that'll be it, you know?
Well, hold on. Let's dissect that for just 1 second. So your thinking was, if he really needed closure with this ex-girlfriend, then I will go ahead and give him that. If it's this close to your wedding and he still needs closure with another woman, isn't that a red flag for you?
Yeah, I was trying to be, like, easygoing and supportive, and I mean, she reached out to him, so that made me feel like it wasn't really his idea. I don't even know why. I don't know why I agreed to it. I really don't. At the time, it really just didn't seem like a big deal.
It is.
But it probably
should. It is. Yeah. And even though she reached out to him, I just feel like there's a lot of justification going on here. And I'm not coming down on you, but he didn't have to go. He didn't have to answer that text.
Not at all.
And he certainly didn't have to do it under the guise. I needed closure with an ex. So right. I understand why you're feeling a little nervous about things.
Yeah.
Has there been anything else, or is it just this one incident that is making you think, like, okay, something's not right here?
No, he's been weird since. Like, he's been definitely a bit less affectionate, more distant on his phone, significantly more definitely talking to somebody. But, you know, I kind of have tried to ask him, and he's like, it's nothing, you know, I'm talking to a friend or whatever. So, yeah, there's definitely been a little bit of a shift in his behavior, which is why I'm here right now.
Okay.
All right.
This is one, hearing all the details, where I'm just like, we're bracing for the worst here, okay? All right, Shauna, so you asked us to test him last night with To Catch a Cheater. Abby, are you reading this one?
I got this.
All right.
So we sent a fake promotional email to the email address that Shauna provided us for him. He was offered a free bouquet of flowers and was able to choose from several options with pictures. The first one was Whoops-a-Daisy. Mix any mistake with a fun assortment of Gerber daisies, light pink roses, hydrangeas, and carnations. It will be impossible for her to not accept your apology. Number two is Smitten. She's captured your attention. Now make sure you capture her with this bold mix of hot pink hydrangeas, roses, and lilies. The third is Sunny Side Up, orange roses, pink and yellow daisies, and lush greenery. The perfect bouquet to brighten anyone's day and make everything seem just right. Number four is Everything Coming Up Roses. 2 dozen long stem roses, perfect for the one your heart desires. In exchange, he was asked to share 10 promo codes for 30% off a future order with his friends and family. The first promotional email was sent at 9:39 a.m. A second email was sent at 12:32 p.m., and he responded to and ordered flowers at 1:55 p.m. And he chose Whoops-a-Daisy, mix any mistake with a fun assortment of Gerber daisies, light pink roses, hydrangeas, and carnations. It will be impossible for her to not accept your apology. And Shauna, he sent these to Audrey. He set delivery for Saturday morning to be delivered to a home address, and the note on the card said, I'm sorry things couldn't be different. From Kevin.
And okay. And that is not your real name. I'm sorry things couldn't be different from Kevin. Was this the girl that he went to lunch or dinner with?
Yeah.
That's his ex.
Oh my God. I mean, what would you do if you were me?
Well, him saying, I'm sorry, things couldn't be different. I mean, obviously, it's not the best of circumstances, but at least it does sound as if he's saying to her, I'm done. We're done here. I'm going. I'm getting married.
Boy, you're interpreting that way differently than I am.
Yeah.
I take no comfort in that whatsoever. Especially when you're adding all of this up, I'm sorry things couldn't be different. Like, no. First of all, if you're getting flowers the week before you're about to be married,
that's a problem.
Right?
Yeah. To me,
there's only one person to send them to.
That's a fact.
And that's your mom.
Or your fiance.
To me,
that's what takes that from a very gray sentence, because he could have sent that in a text and been like, listen, things didn't work out. I'm getting married. I'm happy. That's the closure I have. He sent her flowers. Mm-hmm. He spent money on this woman. I hate to say it, but if I'm you, I'm running.
Now, this,
I would too.
This doesn't necessarily say they hooked up or, you know, physically or anything, but just the sentence, I'm sorry things couldn't be different, indicates to me that he kind of wishes that they were.
That things could be different?
I'm sorry things couldn't be different, meaning I wish they were, but it's not, so I'll go ahead and get married.
Here's the thing. He could make them different if he wanted to. That's at the end of the day. Like, maybe this is his way of diffusing a situation that could blow up. We don't have all the details of their relationship and what it means. At the outset, it seems really sketchy, and I would be upset about it, too. But at the same time, things could be different. If he wanted it, he could literally leave her and go be with his ex. So I wouldn't read too much into it that way.
What?
For me, I'd be like, this is you choosing me. I'm who you want, and you're saying goodbye, and you're trying to do it in a way where you're not going to blow up our lives with this angry ex.
Tommy, our show director, what you got?
Shauna, since he's sending the package entitled Whoops-a-Daisy, you could try and work that phrase in as many times as you can in front of him today and just look at his face time you say it, and that will tell you how he meant what he wrote to her.
I don't see in any way, shape, or form, Cassie, how this is a positive in any way, shape, or
okay,
form.
Okay, you want to get to the bottom of it. So we don't actually send the flowers, right? So Shauna, today, send yourself some daisies with that card. And he'll just think he put in the wrong address, like just going on the fly.
Ooh.
And then you can say, what does this mean?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, you're like, what? Yeah. What do you mean things couldn't be different? And see what he says. And then if he tells you the truth, you're good. But if he lies and make up an excuse, well, you know who he sent them to.
Well, we can help you with that. Yeah. You feel okay with doing that?
I think I do. I think that's a great idea.
Cassie.
Come out. Find out.
Cassie, you should leave now. It doesn't get any better than this. Just leave the show.
Deuces.
All right, Shauna, look, I hope when you confront him on it, he is honest with you. I hope nothing has happened with him and the ex, but I would like to check in with you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. It's a Bert Show.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bert Show.
Today, the Bert Show MGAs. Today we start our MGA campaign. Make marriage great again. MGA.
Got it.
Two M's, G and an N.
MGA.
So, Mo and I were talking on his podcast, and this is where my idea for this came up with. Mo has never been in love, right?
No.
Never been in love. Doesn't really see the value in marriage at all, mostly because he's got friends, most friends, that are married and miserable.
Yeah. Most of my peers got married young, and so I'm kind of the only guy in my clique that's not married. And I just kind of started to sense a pattern when I would speak to them. whether it was half jokingly or half true, they just didn't seem to be the happiest of men. Like, they just didn't. Like, when I would call them, their energy, their vibes, and they can't go on certain vacations with me. They can't live their lives a certain way. And it just seemed like every time I would ask, like, why, it always kind of centered around marriage. And they would tell me things like, jokingly, you know, hey, hold out. Hey, don't get married. And then after a while, it started to feel like, I don't think y'all are joking. So I started kind of paying a little more attention to how men typically feel in marriages. And I started to realize why the term happy wife, happy life is so popular. But yet I've never heard the term happy spouse, happy house. So it just seemed like all of these men really feel as if when they sign on to get married, it's no longer about them. It's always about pleasing their woman, of which a lot of men would secretly tell you, they wouldn't tell you out loud, that they're not the happiest in their marriages.
So, which made me realize, because this isn't a man thing, this isn't a woman thing, when you're married, it's about the couple, right? So, if we were going to deconstruct marriage, and you guys can get in on this if you want, 1-855-BIRCHOW, because when you look at the divorce rates, which I did, I mean, you're talking about 40 to 50% of marriages are going to fail. The divorce rate for second marriages is even higher than that. It goes up to 67%.
Ooh, that is high.
I really believe it's because we get into these traditional habits of marriage, and the statistics have sucked for a very long time. Yet we are making the same mistakes over and over and over again, generation from generation to generation. And maybe it's because we're watching our parents' crappy marriages and we are emulating those crappy marriages in our own crappy marriages. So the statistic never goes anywhere. So if there weren't rules, quote unquote, and you were going to completely deconstruct marriage, what would you do to change the institution to get that 40 to 50% of first marriages that end in divorce down to, let's say, 20%. What could you do? Do you have any ideas? 1-855-BIRCHOW.
I think what's interesting is watching parents' crappy relationships and marriages fall apart is working, because the millennial divorce rate is 25%. It is way lower than like the national average of everyone together. So I think if you want a lasting marriage, look at what your divorced parents did and don't do that.
Right. We're done.
Yep.
Hit the bed. Let's go to traffic. I think one of the reasons why that statistic is changing, Cassie, was the first thing that I would deconstruct about marriage. And this is one that I've been preaching for years and years and years on the Bird Show. I always say, don't get married till you're 30 years old. 30. And I think millennials now are taking longer to get married. And I think that has a lot to do with why that divorce rate is going down. New study. I did a little research. New study suggests people should get married. Here's your sweet spot. You ready? Between the ages of 28 and 32. If you don't want to get divorced, at least in the first 5 years, that seems to be like the sweet spot, 28 to 32. I've always said 30, because when you get married young, you really don't know. You think you know yourself. Your spouse thinks he knows himself also. Y'all are still growing. Mm. And for me, in marriage, the hardest part isn't staying in love. The hardest part is staying in like with the person that is evolving. And the person you are at 25 is going to be so different than 35 and 45 years old. So that would be my first thing, is nobody gets married before 30 years old.
I love that advice. My dad told me that too, and I took it to heart. I don't think I got married till I was like 33 or 34. And you just, like you said, it lets you know yourself, but it also lets you be comfortable with, I love this phrase, is somebody on TikTok was talking about how they let their spouse bloom and they stepped back when they needed to so their spouse could continue growing and sort of blooming and becoming the person they are, because they were being sort of, it sounded like they were being like your friends, Mo, like held back by the marriage, restricted a little bit by the relationship. And so they took a step back and allowed their spouse to bloom, and their spouse was so much happier. So I think when you get older, you recognize when somebody is trying to like evolve to the next level and you're able to facilitate that. Whereas I think when you're younger, you sort of see it as a, why am I not good enough? Like, what am I not doing enough to make this person happy when it's not about you?
So most people would say that also traditionally, right, when we're looking at what we're doing over and over and over again, is whoever the person dated before you doesn't matter. Their dating history absolutely doesn't matter. If Mo was going to deconstruct marriage, he's got a completely different take on that.
I do. And when I've had this conversation on my podcast with Katie on In the Moment, I realized how many people were like, completely against this idea that I have of which, like you said, they feel like the past doesn't matter. I completely don't agree with that whatsoever, especially when it comes to marriage, because the way I see it logically, if someone is going to invest something in you, like a job, or if you're going to go into the military, if you're going to get a home, they give you a background check. There's a reason for that. They want to know, they want to have a full picture of exactly who you are and what they're dealing with. You may not be the same person, but your decision making in your life does play a part in the decisions that you may make in the future. So technically, in my mind, your biggest investment that you will ever have is you, the rest of your life. So if you are going to invest yourself and the rest of your life and children and all of the things that are the most important to you in someone, then I see nothing wrong with knowing exactly who they are, where they come from, and how they choose to make decisions. So when people say, it doesn't matter where you are, who you've been, but I'm still going to invest all of this in you anyway, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
That's a good point, man.
I feel that I think you can change and grow, but I do think that's like all of that makes you into the person that you are. So if there's something from your past that like is shady or you're not proud of, well, you can own it and you can say detail out how you've changed since then. But I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I don't even need to ask because I've already stalked your exes. I've looked through all their Facebook pages. I've done my own background check. So if you're not going to tell me, I'm going to find out. So I'm at that age where a lot of my friends are starting to get engaged. This is when that first wave of first marriages is starting to happen. And something that's been really like disheartening to see is how many people I've noticed are getting engaged to people that so many people in their lives are saying, this is not a smart decision. This person is not the right fit for you. And it seems like they're getting engaged because other people are doing it, so it just seems like it's the right thing. Oh, we've been dating for 5 years, so let's just get engaged. And I'm starting to realize that, I don't know, maybe I had a romanticized view of like what it meant to like get engaged and get married, but I thought you fall in love and you get excited to get married. And none of these people seem like they should be getting into a lifelong commitment.
I completely agree with you. That was like my second reason that I came up with is I think we live in a place now where a lot of people love marriage more than they actually get married for love.
Oh, and that's good.
That's the problem,
oh,
right?
Bravo!
Thank you.
Bravo!
Done. All right.
Say it again.
A lot of people love marriage more than they actually get married for love. This whole world of you're getting married for social reasons or because you want to get married for security or you want to get married because you just think it's the right thing to do and you'll be happy. Like all of these, you should marry someone because you love them, they love you, and you believe that y'all will be the perfect union for the rest of your lives. There should be no other reason in my mind to get married.
I 100% agree with that. But I do think it does change as you get older. So in doing research for this segment, I asked my parents and all of their friends who have been in relationships for 30 years. And I think to some extent, when you get into a relationship or in a marriage for that long, is you have to realize, you have to almost see the marriage as something that you do have to love. Like you have to value the fact that, okay, I made this lifelong commitment and I'm going to choose to love the fact that I'm married, even if I don't like this person right now, even if I don't love them. You have to stay committed to that. And actually, I did a little bit more research, saw some statistics, and the number one reason people cited that they got divorced is lack of commitment. And the number two is infidelity, which I think kind of goes hand in hand.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
People getting cheated on.
That's 1A, 1B.
Here's another one. I find that sometimes when people get married, they lose themselves. So it sort of becomes, we like going to the beach. We like concerts instead of I. And I think that it is really important to not lose yourself. And I think the way I like to view marriage is I have chosen someone to live my life in tandem with. So we'll do things together, but it's still my life. I'm just living it at the same time and speed as you are. And then we'll cross paths sometimes. So I think when you get married, don't lose yourself. Still go on those vacations with friends without your significant other. Mm-hmm. Do things without them. Pursue hobbies that they're not interested in. Cultivate yourself. And this goes back to what you were saying, Will, about investing investing in yourself as well. Invest in yourself, enrich yourself, then you'll have even more to talk about with your partner. But you will never feel dependent on them or codependent. You'll never feel lost because you'll always know who you are.
100%.
All right, Richard, we are fixing marriage today. We are totally deconstructing it, like, because it's so jacked up. What do you want to add?
All right, so good morning, guys. I always enjoy the show.
Thanks for being part of it, man.
Hey, August is 12 years for me and my wife, so still going at it, going pretty strong, I think. And I think the one thing that we're doing very well is not falling into gender roles. I cook, I wash clothes, I'm on my knees scrubbing the bathroom, all of that stuff when my wife can't do it or she doesn't feel or she doesn't want to. Or if I see an issue that needs to be taken care of, I go and do it, whether traditionally it's a, quote, woman's job or a man's. It does not matter. And I think that that's a big thing that, like you all were talking about, parents' marriages and grandparents' marriages, they had those gender roles, and they stuck to them so hard and so for so long that then that unhappiness starts to creep in. So I think one of the big things that we really just got to do away with is gender roles. They're stupid. They're antiquated.
I agree.
Great stuff, Richard. I appreciate it, man. And here's the thing also about our grandparents that took so much pride in being married for 65 years. They hated each other for 55 of them. but, man, they took those vows seriously. So they stuck it out, but they were not happy. Katia, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so my comment, I guess, on what makes marriage work is kind of with what Kathy, I think, said, is helping each other grow. And part of that may or may not include therapy. I am married and I am 24, so I know I am young and way before that 30 year old mark. But yeah, I really do think that a lot of what has helped in my marriage is just the fact that I acknowledged that I had things that I needed to work on, and my partner was very understanding. And, you know, instead of putting me in a little box, he helped me find those resources, because he knew that a lot of those things had nothing to do with him, but he could help me be a better version of myself.
I love that call. And I've really pivoted on this over the course of the years also. I think if we're going to deconstruct marriage, I used to hear that people were in couples counseling before they got married. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's a relationship that's not going to work. I mean, if you guys are already struggling before you get married, then that's a big old red flag that's not going to work. I've pivoted on that. I really think that you should get couples counseling before you get married. I think it would give you a way better idea to sit down with somebody if there are problems or not, and learn how to work them out before you get married.
Yeah, Sophia Bush actually just talked about this on a podcast, and she met her now husband, and like at the 4-month mark, they started going to couples counseling. I think it's good. You have a professional helping you lay the groundwork, lay the foundation of your relationship.
Agreed. All right.
Yeah, a lot of successful couples will tell you the hardest parts was the beginning, not necessarily later. It was they got it out the way early, and then they was smooth sailing after that.
So we can circle back to this because there's way more than that we can do with it.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Just a little heads up, we're going to be talking about the Me Too movement and sexual harassment. So if that's not something you're comfortable listening to, might want to bow out for a couple minutes. I don't know if you've seen the Drew Barrymore show, but she is a fantastic interviewer. I mean, she has an amazing way of getting celebs to open up about these really intense, like deep subjects that they haven't touched on in the past.
I love her so much because she's so authentic. She's just real, and she's just lived and rock bottom and pulled herself out and had a really tough relationship with her parents. And the way she interviews is with so much empathy that I think that's why celebrities just open up to her. It's safe, but not safe.
Yeah, I'm about to play a clip with her and Brooke Shields. And I mean, obviously this is audio. You can't see the video, but in this clip, she's like on the couch, her feet are up, and there are tears in her eyes, and she's like holding Brooke Shields' hand, and it's really cool to see them connect over a common struggle that they had during the Me Too movement. So both were obviously child stars, and they said that they didn't really feel comfortable. They didn't know if they could speak up about some of the things that they experienced, because when it all happened to them, you know, they were too young to really understand from an adult standpoint about some of the things that they experienced.
You know, and it's Hollywood, mm-hmm. and it's that old school 50s mentality that took a very long time to change till recently, is like, as a woman, you got to do what you got to do to, you know, make yourself more and more popular and get the roles that you want. And up until recently, that, and it's still, I guarantee you that's still happening in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
I think dudes are probably just better about hiding it.
Yeah. And it was awkward and uncomfortable for them because they were young. So they didn't, it didn't fully click with them until they got older and both had daughters, and they, it really resonated with both of them.
I couldn't feel sorry. I didn't know what it was. And so when it was called out to me as such, I was like, no, not going there. It did not happen. That did not happen.
That's exactly how I felt. I felt like I couldn't speak to the movement, and I was so happy that it was happening. But I felt like I experienced too many things that were so gray and so awkward, and that I didn't know were wrong at the time.
I think it's really heartbreakingly ironic, because I think the whole point of the Me Too movement is I didn't feel comfortable speaking up. I felt like I couldn't speak up. And that's essentially what they're saying, but almost in a, from a different angle of, I felt like I couldn't speak up because it was such a gray area. I was a kid.
Right.
I didn't know what was going on.
And it was so standard.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. She also had a really touching moment when she was talking about, they both had moms that were managers. And the way Brooke Shields sees it, is that her mom really wasn't protecting her. She wasn't managing for Brooke Shields. She was exposing Brooke Shields and kind of burning her out. And it was interesting to listen to Drew Barrymore say, well, in Hollywood at the time, everybody looked at your relationship with your mom as the gold standard. She's going to stay there in interviews and make sure that they're asking you the right questions and making sure everything was taken care of and you were safe. And Brooke Shields said, that might have been the look from the outside looking in, but from the inside, I'll tell you right now, my mom was controlling, never let me do anything, and that's the reason why she was there all the time.
Mm. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's so sad, and they're both parents of daughters, and they said that after they had their children, a lot of things just really clicked for them, so it was really a hard interview to watch, but impactful. Glad that the conversation happened. So, you know, we just talked about how to deconstruct marriage, and how can we make this better? How can we lower the divorce rate? Well, Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, they've got an incredible relationship. They're about to start hosting live together. I feel like they're one of those, we really should add them to the list of celeb couples that would look great naked. Or that we think are the hottest naked together. Should we add them to the list?
No.
No? Mm. You don't think Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos are hot?
Okay, I'll just be honest. I think he's a better looking man than she is a woman.
What? I think Kelly Ripa's objectively very attractive. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's certainly not ugly.
I think they're really hot.
I don't know if they're on top the top. Yeah, I don't know if they're at the top of the list. Hang on there somewhere.
Kelly Ripa might be my David Harbour from. I have a little bit of a girl crush on Kelly Ripa.
More people are going to think Kelly Ripa is attractive than David Harbour.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kat.
That's fine. That's competition for me.
But anyway, they've been doing all these interviews talking about how their marriage of 26 years has survived. And Kelly said, I don't understand when people say we never fight. She says when she hears that, she goes, well, they're in trouble. So they're saying the key to a really good relationship is actually having some conflict.
Tommy, I would love to get your take on this. For a dude that's been married to Renee for how long?
26 years.
I could just never, ever, ever see her fighting with you. She does?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's stuff that is caused by me. I'm usually the one in the wrong.
How do you guys generally resolve your conflict?
I just say, you're right.
Yeah, it is.
If she is or not, in your mind?
She's usually right.
Okay.
I can't picture her being mad at all.
Me neither.
Not even a little bit.
Well, she hides it well, but I know when she's mad.
What's the one thing that you consistently do that pisses her off?
Come on.
I don't think I can top that.
Yeah. We're out.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
Get it. The Bird Show.
We helped her find and bust her brother who was cheating on her sister-in-law with his coworker. And you guys want to know what has happened since. Today is follow-up Thursday, so you shoot us an email and you're like, hey, Bird Show, whatever happened to blank? And this one comes from Sani Hartog. He says, hey, love the show. Listening in the Netherlands.
Woo! It's really exciting.
Are you taking the role of Kristen right now?
Well, I do find it exciting, but I am. Yes, I'm repping KK.
Is it possible to give an update regarding the War of the Roses from March of 2022? She suspected her brother-in-law of cheating on her sister. If he was, she wanted to put an end to it and help him before he ruined his marriage. With kind regards, S-A-N-N-E. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly.
Don't either.
I don't know. The recap.
So Jill reached out to us in March of last year wanting to do a War of the Roses because she suspected her brother was cheating on her sister-in-law. Her mom was the one who tipped her off after spotting a strange interaction between him and his coworker. And to make matters worse, Jill's sister-in-law was hanging out with her mom more because her brother spent more time, quote, working late. We tested him and he ended up sending flowers to his coworker with a note that read, hoping these make you smile like you do for me every day. Jill told her mother about the results and she decided it was best to have an intervention with him. They confronted him with the proof that they had that he was having an affair with another woman. They gave him an ultimatum. He had 1 month to end things and get his marriage back on track, or they would tell his wife about the affair. He never gave them a response, just got up and walked out of the house. Kristen thought that was too much meddling because we didn't have the other side of the story. Was there more going on in their marriage that we didn't know about? What has happened since?
Hey, Bert Show. Yes, it's been a little over a year since the last time I talked to you. Unfortunately, my brother did not end his relationship. While he tried to convince us that he had and tried to hide it, it turned out that he continued to see her. We had no choice but to follow through on our ultimatum, and we told his wife the truth. I think that was in July of last year. It was a painful and difficult conversation, but we knew it was the right thing to do. I ended up having the conversation with her, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I hated having to be the one to deliver such devastating news, but I knew that we couldn't let the affair continue without consequences.
So do I have this right, or am I like having a brain fart here? So she narked on her own brother?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, but predictably, the news led to a divorce. It was a heartbreaking outcome for all of us, but we stand by our decision to intervene and support my sister-in-law through this difficult time. It's been a challenging year for our family, and my brother is still not speaking to us.
I bet.
It's a painful situation, but I have to admit that his silence has made it a little easier for me, at least. We hope that my brother can come to terms with his actions and realize that we were not the bad guys here. He was the one who made the choice to cheat on his wife, and he has to face the consequences of that choice. We're holding on to hope that he can learn from this experience and work to repair the damage that he's caused. Thanks for checking in, and take care.
Wow. I don't remember the questions that we were debating or the conversation we had when this whole thing was going on, but maybe I'm going to ask the same questions. Would you ever sell out your sibling like that?
No, I wouldn't.
Under no circumstance?
No circumstances at all.
Even if you knew that she was cheating and you really, really, really liked your soon-to-be brother-in-law, nothing.
I would talk to my sister about it, and I would try to get her to get her stuff together, but I'm not going to be the person that blows that whistle. If she comes to an end due to her own actions because karma or whatever catches up to her, that's fine, but I'm not going to be the whistleblower.
Cassie, you got a sister.
Man, I don't think I would, but if I was friends with her husband, like, and I think it's different too, in this scenario, but like, or let's say my sister married a woman, I became really good friends with her wife and we were close. Then I might, if I went to my sister first and I was like, you can't do this, you need to stop. And my sister was like, I'll do what I want. Then I might be like, hey, guess what? She's stepping out on you, because everyone deserves to be happy. Mm. And also, we don't talk about this a lot, but like there's a thing here, an aspect you have to consider with like sexual health. Like if he's picking up STDs and spreading them around, like she deserves to know that's a threat to her health.
Yeah, so I have an older brother, and it's my hope that one day, if he can find a lady who will love him, that me and her will be close. And I can't imagine
having to keep that secret from her. I'm a terrible liar. Like, it wouldn't even be intentional. I would probably just be at dinner one day and just be like, he's cheating on you. But I honestly, so first I would go to my brother because I don't think that's fair to just step out and be like, hey, I talked to him about it. Hope he would do the right thing. If he doesn't, I would go to my mom and I would maybe see if I could get my mom to do it. And then if my mom doesn't do it, then I'm going in probably at Thanksgiving.
I feel like I have a very warped sense of loyalty right here because under no circumstances would I narc on a sibling.
Nope. There's just no way.
None. And the arguments that you guys are making are totally valid, man. She deserves to know the truth, the sexual consequences of the whole thing, and I'd have to live with that. But I can't sit under no circumstances would I break that with the family.
Well, I'd be honestly very disappointed if my sister did something like this. I'd be sure. Like, that's not you. That's not how you roll. Something's wrong. And I feel torn, too, because I do have that loyalty to my sister. But at the end of the day, if I see a crime going down, see something, say something.
Report it.
Yeah.
I'm shutting Ava.
We're watching you.
I'm looking the other way.
It's the Bert Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bert Show fix at thebertshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bert Show.